The Clackamas River watershed is home to many kinds of fish, birds, and wildlife. Chinook and coho, salmon, steelhead trout, sear and cutthroat trout, and lamprey eels swim in its waters.
The forests are home to deer, bear, cougar, bobcat, raccoon, possum, coyote, skunk, and squirrel. Eagles, osprey, and hawks nest in the evergreen, maple, oak, and cottonwood trees. Owls, grouse, quail, jays, finches, and wrens live in the forest. Water-loving birds like great blue herons, mergansers, ouzels, kingfisher, coots, ducks, and geese nest among the reeds and banks of the Clackamas River.
Here's a tale with a few facts about what fish need to survive and thrive in the Clackamas River and how we can help them.
One of the reasons I like to care for the Clackamas River, I like to go fishing. And the Clackamas River is one of the best streams in all of North America for sea-run cutthroat trout, steelhead trout, Chinook, and coho salmon. Well, one day, I was fishing on the Clackamas River with my buddy Jack. He lives right on the river near McIver Park, and he can read a river just like you or I could read a book. He knows every riffle and every tail out, every undercut bank where the fish are likely to be found. And we got down to the river, and Jack said, "Hey, here's a good spot. See those big alder trees shading the stream? Now the alder trees shade the water and keep it nice and cold. Steelhead need really cold water. And take a look. See those graveled beds beneath the surface of the stream? That's where the fish lay their eggs. And take a look. Take a look at that big log jam in the middle of the river. That slows down the current. That gives your fish a quiet spot to rest and feed. This is prime habitat. You know where fish live at. Let's go fishing." Well, Jack and I are just sort of old school fishermen. We just use big worms called night crawlers and some colored yarn and a bobber. Worms are good for soil as well as being good for fishing. You see, as worms crawl through the soil, they make little tunnels, and that helps the soil to breathe. Also, when the rain falls, it helps the water to percolate down and water the roots of the plants and the trees. Well, I reached into my worm bucket, found a big, fat night crawler, put him on my hook, and I cast out. And just like that, I reeled in a 20-pound steelhead trout. Well, it was flopping on the bank and flopping on the bank, and Jack and I wanted to take him home for supper. But you can only keep a steelhead if it's been raised in a hatchery. We want to keep the wild fish, the native steelhead, in the rivers as much as possible. You might know you can tell the difference between a hatchery fish and a native fish this way. At the hatchery, when the fish are very small, they clip off a tiny fin on their back called the adipose fin. And if you catch a steelhead and it's been fin clipped, you can take that fish home for supper. Well, this one was a fin-clipped fish, and so I pulled out my big steelhead club and I reared back to knock him out when Jack said, "Hey, that's not the kind of steelhead you cut up for supper. Take a look at that boy. He's old. He's probably smart, too. That's the kind of steelhead you keep alive. You take home and you teach tricks to." And I said, "What?" And Jack said, "Hey, it's worth a try." Well, he made me pick up that big steel head, and we started walking up to Jack's cabin, which is right nearby. But we hadn't gone too far when Jack saw something across the river, and he said, "Uh-oh, take a look at that. Now that's not good for steelhead habitat. See, right over there, that stream bank is completely bare. The people living there cut down so many trees and pulled out so many shrubs when they built their cabin, there's no plants growing there. Now, without the roots to hold the soil, whenever the rain falls in the mud spills, clogs up the gravel where the steelhead lay their eggs, and all the silt, the soil in the water, gets stuck in their gills. We got to come back and talk to those folks, see if we can plant some native plants up there. The roots of the maidenhair ferns and the vine maple, they'll hold that stream bank. And I said, Jack, that's a good idea. But maybe first we should get this fish into some water. Well, we got to Jack's cabin. And out by his woodshed, he's got a big rain barrel. Some of you might have seen rain barrels. You see, when rain comes off your roof, it goes down a gutter or down a downspout. Now, a lot of people just have the downspout go onto the lawn or down into a pipe and into a storm drain. But you can capture that water in a big rain barrel, and then you can use that water all summer long to water your garden or your lawn. It's a way to conserve water and to save money, too, because you don't have to pay the city or the county to use that water. Well, Jack put that big fish into the rain barrel. Woo! And he kept him alive there for 2 weeks before he called me up one day and said, "Come here. I got something to show you." So I walked over to Jack's place. We walked out by the rain barrel. And then he walked over to his compost pile. Jack has a big compost pile in his backyard, and those are very easy to make. It's just a big pile where you rake your dead leaves and your grass clippings. You can also put your fruit and vegetable scraps from the kitchen there. And as you stir up that compost, eventually it rots and breaks down. We like to say rotting is nature's way of recycling. Well, eventually, your old food and dead leaves and grass clippings, they become new food for the earth. And you take that good, rich compost, you can put it around your trees, you can put it in the soil of your gardens. It helps the plants to grow, it nourishes the soil and keeps it good and strong. But also, if you're a fisherman and you have a compost pile, you're always going to have worms. And Jack bent down and grabbed a big old gob of worms. He walked over to the rain barrel and held the worms right over that rain barrel. Well, that fish came flying out of that rain barrel to get the worms. And when he jumped out of the rain barrel, Jack caught him in midair. He put him down on the dewy, wet grass. He backed up about 5 feet, and he held the worms down right in front of that fish's nose. And he just said, "Come here, boy. Come on, Steely." And that crazy fish was so smart, he just slithered across the grass. Jack gave him the worms, and he bent down, and he said, "Good, Steelhead. Good boy." And then, of course, he put him right back into, whoosh, the rain barrel. But Jack kept doing that every day for 3 months, until the fish was coming to him from about 30 feet away. And every night, when the fish was asleep, Jack would empty a few cups of water out of the rain barrel. Because you see, that fish is so smart, if we teach him gradually, he just may learn how to breathe air. And I said, "What?" And Jack said, "Hey, it's worth a try." Well, Jack kept doing that every day. And after about 5 months, the fish was living in 4 inches of water in the rain barrel, and then every day Jack would take him out of the rain barrel and put him on the grass. And there he would live for about 10 minutes every day beneath the sprinkler. But I was not prepared for what happened next, my friends. One day I was out on the street, and I was washing my truck. And I was rinsing tons and tons of soap suds off of my truck. And, of course, those soap suds were going down the gutter, down the storm drain, and out to the streams and the creeks when Jack walked by. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said,
Jack, I'm washing my truck."
And Jack said, "Don't rinse so many soap suds into the street. That goes down the gutter, down the storm drain, out to the creeks and the streams. Now, if you get a lot of soap suds there, that's going to kill little insects like water beetles and water skippers, stoneflies and caddisflies, and that's what steelhead need for feed." Well, Jack, what should I do if I want to take care of my truck and take care of the Clackamas River?
Well, there's three things you can do. If you gotta wash your car on the street, just use a tiny bit of biodegradable soap, the kind of soap the river can easily digest, and use a little bit more water. Even better, move your car onto the grass or a dirt lot. You can rinse a bunch of soap suds off there because the soil can digest and break down the soap suds easier than the river can. Or you could go to a car wash, but you have to ask them if they recycle their water. And then again, you could do what I do. Don't wash your car at all. And I said, you know, Jack, it sure looks like it. And then Jack said, now come here. I got something to show you. So I walked over to Jack's place, walked out by the woodshed. There was the rain barrel, and there was the steel head. And he was laying beneath the the sprinkler. Jack walked over to his compost pile, got a huge gob of worms, and I'll never, ever, ever forget this day. Jack walked over to the fish, and he held the worms up and said, okay, boy, ready? Come on now. Get up. Come on now, boy, now. Get up. And I watched, and that fish jumped up and balanced itself on its tail. And I said, Jack, that fish is standing up. Oh, that's not all. Watch this. Come here, boy. Come on, fish. And that's when that crazy steelhead started walking across the grass. And I said, Jack, that is cool. You got a walking fish. Oh, heck, he's not walking that good, but, you know, for a steelhead, it's not bad. You know, I got an idea. And that was the most dangerous thing Jack could have. You know what we ought to do with that steelhead? Take him steelhead fishing. Because after all, who would know more about steelhead fishing than a big old steelhead? Well, the next day, we put him on our drift boat there at Barton Park, and we started drifting down the Clackamas. And that steelhead didn't know a lick about steelhead fishing. But he loved to go. He would stand up right in the prow, right up in front of our drift boat, and he just rocked back and forth. He loved going fishing. Well, we took him all summer long. But one day, we were drifting down the river, and Jack saw some of his friends. They live right on the Clackamas River, and they were in their backyard, spraying clouds of pesticides on their plants to kill the insects, and throwing gobs of fertilizer on their grass to make it grow. Well, as we drifted by, Jack said, hey, go easy on that stuff. Your pesticides rinse off your plants when it rains. They wash into the river, and they'll kill the insects there, and that's what the steelhead need for food. And those fertilizers don't help much either. They wash into the river, and the river uses a lot of oxygen to digest them all. Just plant native plants in your yard. You know, plants that are from here. They don't need that stuff. And the folks said, good idea, Jack. Well, think about that, Jack. Hey, Jack, watch out. Jack, the rapids! Well, we hadn't been paying attention, and we drifted into the rapids, you know, where there's waves and rocks and white water. And the rapids rocked the boat back and forth, and then one of the rocks high-sided the drift boat. And that poor steelhead lost his balance. And he just, dropped into the Clackamas. Away he went. And I'll never forget what Jack said. Uh-oh. I think he forgot how to swim. And I looked over the side of the boat, and there was that fish on the bottom of the Clackamas River on his back, looking up at Jack and I with a terrified expression. And I said, Jack, that fish is drowning. Oh, no. We better go down there and get him or he's going to die. How about you? Well, I dove into the river and I swam down and I grabbed that fish and I came swimming back up. And Jack got an arm around him and he pulled him up and up and up over the gunwale, the side of the drift boat, onto the floorboards. But that fish had been underwater a long time and he nearly died. But of course, Jack knew mouth-to-gill resuscitation, and was able to bring him back to life. And then we had to spend the rest of the summer teaching that crazy steelhead how to swim. Every day we'd go out to the lawn, which is where he lived now, full time, of course, beneath the sprinkler. And every day we'd put him into the rain barrel and add a few cups of water. By the last day of vacation, he could swim moderately well. Well, we took him down to the river, put him in our drift boat at McIver Park, started drifting down the stream, and old Jack dropped anchor. Here's a good spot. You see all those willow trees on the stream bank? Now the bugs love those willow leaves, and they crawl around there. So when the wind blows, a lot of them fall off into the stream. He'll have plenty of food right here. And take a look upstream. See all that white water? Wherever you have rapids, it means the river's making good, fresh oxygen. Steelhead, salmon, trout, they need a lot of that. This is prime habitat. You know, where fish live at. So for the last time, old Jack picked up that big steel head. And he petted his head and said, "Good fish, good boy." And I watched him as he let him slide out of his arms, right across the gunwale of the drift boat, and into the Clackamas River. And away he swam. That was the last time Jack or I ever did see that fish. That was the last day of my summer vacation 3 years ago. But I want you to know, yes, that is the truest story a steelhead fisherman will probably ever tell you. Well, at least there's a lot of truth in it, and maybe you can fish some of those facts out.